I hope you have your Bibles. You're going to look at Genesis chapter 26. If you turn in your Bible, Genesis chapter 26, an interesting passage of Scripture, actually titled A Failure of Isaac. So we have here a story basically about Isaac and what Isaac accomplished because he loved God and he knew what to do. So if you have your Bibles, we're looking at Genesis chapter 26, beginning verse 1. It says, "There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar." So Isaac is going to Gerar, living among the Philistines. And it's interesting because if you read down through, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but it says there in verse 6, "So Isaac dwelt in Gerar." And then it goes on to say that his wife told a lie. Can you imagine Isaac telling a lie? It was his wife, and she said, "She is my sister." So he told a lie, Isaac. But it goes on, and it tells about the fact that he told a lie to Abimelech, and Abimelech found out about it, and he was very unhappy about the fact that Isaac had told a lie. And so he turned it around and told everybody not to touch his man's wife. But I want to read from verse 12. Notice what it says. "Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous," it says. "For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells." What'd they do? "They stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we.' Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there." And it says in verse 18 that at Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called them by the names of his father he had called them. And so here you see Isaac was blessed of God. Abraham had died at this point, and Abraham had dug all the wells. You know, there are two things that Abraham did in every camp that he went to and that he established. That was, number one, they built an altar to God. They wanted to make sure that they were connected with God, that God was in their midst, and that they could be a blessing to other people as a result of what God was doing within them. And the second thing, he dug a well. So Isaac, after he came and the Philistines had prospered in spite of what the Philistines were doing. And there was Abraham, and there was Isaac. And Isaac, it says in verse 18, he dug again the wells. So get a picture here. Abraham, he digs all the wells. He makes all of the altars. They worship God in a very special way because of their connection with God and what they do. And so that was what they were doing. And then Abraham dies. the Philistines, they fill all the wells back up. So the wells that were at one time flowing with clear crystal water, they were now filled with dirt and mire, and they couldn't get any water out of them. And that was exactly what they were doing. And that's what the picture you get here from Isaac, as you look at the Isaac. You know, remember, there are many uses of water. You think about water in our land, in our country, but you think about water in other places. For example, many uses of water. They're drinking, bathing, washing, cooking, cooling, irrigation, generating power and healing, and all of those kinds of things happen as a result of the fact that they have water. The story of Isaac, he comes in his land. God prospers him. He has all kinds of things, herds and animals and various things, and he has all of those things, and yet they had filled up the water. They had filled up the wells, and there was no water. You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible has a lot to say about water. You think about the Old Testament. Moses struck a rock, and what happened? Water came out. And it says, and Naaman was cleansed of leprosy. And how many times did he dip into water? Seven times. And the Israelites were delivered in Egypt through the water. And then you read of Gideon. Do you remember when Gideon's army was formulated and he had a number of troops he needed to have? Do you remember how Gideon picked his group? Do you remember that? How they drank the water, either if they were on their knees and they were slurping, bringing the water, or whether they were holding it and they were watching very carefully, making sure that they were not attacked while they're drinking their water. So that was another op. So all of these things happen in regard to the water. So the Old Testament had all of these. Then in the New Testament, you have some too. Jesus, remember the water at the well? You remember Jesus walked on water? You remember he made wine out of water? He baptized by water, and he washed feet by water. So he did all of those things in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Water was the source of life. Water, the southern part of Palestine, water means life. That's what they said, water. Without water, there's no life. And so in Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, the water is pumped by a 7-foot diameter pipe and from the Sea of Galilee. And you know that in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, it only rains. You know how much rain? 3 to 4 inches of rain per year. 3 to 4 inches of rain per year. And that was in a part of that, but farther south, you go farther south, less than 1 inch per year of water. And so water was life. Without water, there's no life. And so that's exactly what it's talking about. Water is the essence of life. And so the Philistines, they came from the west. They filled up the well and after Abraham had died. And then Isaac went around and he cleaned out the wells. Pure, clean, clear water. Again, Old Testament and New Testament, all through life, water. Water means life. In Beersheba, there was a well that Abraham had dug on the edge of the desert. In Judges chapter 15, do you remember Samson? He has a colorful character of Bible. And Samson, he was one of the judges of Israel. He raised up by God to defeat the Philistines. You remember that when he used a jawbone of a donkey, and he slew 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey. That's what he did. And then it says that he was thirsty afterward, and he was about to die. And it says, he threw down the jawbone and a spring came up from the earth and gave him water and gave him to drink. Have any of you ever been to Andersonville, Georgia? Andersonville, Georgia is a Civil War encampment. Anybody? Andersonville, Georgia, some of you. All right? We've been there, I think, a couple of times, because it wasn't far from Oglethorpe, Georgia, where I used to preach occasionally. And as you know, I preached in all those churches in the South and most of them in the North. But anyway, so Andersonville, Georgia, they every day in Andersonville, Georgia, 100 men died. One of the jobs of some of those men was they had to dig graves for all the people who died. Every day, 100 men. They were dying by the thousands. And they decided to pray. In that encampment in Andersonville, Georgia, the men gathered by the thousands, gathered all together. You can just almost get a picture of it, sitting on the sides of the hill next to all the graves that have already been dug and all the people all the men that have already been buried. And there they were, and they had a prayer. Do you think God hears the prayers of men in jail, in a sense? The water, a spring came up out of the ground, and they were able to drink water. All they had before was like sewage. The water was mixed with the sewage. And that's what they had. But in answer to the prayer, God sent an answer to the prayer, and those clear water came up out of the ground, and it gave them a drink. It gave them something to drink. What a wonderful story. There's a story, you remember, a Bible story. It was from the story of David. You remember that David was running from Saul. They were constantly running from Saul. Saul was trying to kill David. And David and his men, and they called them mighty men. There were three mighty men with David, and they were hiding in a cave. And David said, "Oh, I'm so thirsty. And all they had was alkali water. And he said, I'm so thirsty. And so he wants to have a drink of alkali water. He doesn't like it. I wish that I had some water by the well in Bethlehem. Well, his men heard it. And they always wanted to please David. He was the king. And yet here he was running from Saul. And he was hiding in a cave. And all they had was alkali water. So they decided they're going to try to get some water for David. So they ran across the mountains. They went across the mountains. They got to the mountains and they went to the well at Bethlehem. They had to fight their way through. Those were mighty men. They were strong, courageous men. And they got to the well and they got a bucket of water. And had to fight their way back. They fight their way back and they get back to the cave where David is hiding, and they present him a bucket of water from the well in Bethlehem. Do you remember what David did? He poured it out. They had fought their way. They wanted to do something special for David. And it was special for David. It was so special that he made an offering out of it and he poured it out on the ground. Because they had fought their way. They had gotten their way all the way to Bethlehem, got all that water and brought it back. And in Isaiah, it says a man should be a refuge from the storm. This is a prophecy of Jesus. Like a river of water, like a cave, like a pipeline. Water was life. Water was life. And so Abraham, he had dug all the wells up when he was alive, and the Philistines filled him up with dirt, and Isaac came around, and he cleaned them out. He dug the wells himself. It says in John chapter 24, Jesus in the northern part of Israel, and he's thirsty, and he goes to a well to drink. You remember the story as a very common story in chapter 4 of John. This well, like others of the time, it was probably like 100 feet deep and 6 feet in diameter, and it's dug into solid rock. And it says that, and so this Samaritan woman, she comes to get water at the well. And you remember, she comes in the middle of the day because she doesn't want to talk with the rest of them. She just wants to get the water. And you remember that Jesus was the one who asked the water. And so why did the woman come in the day? She didn't want to encounter the village women in order to engage her in conversation. But it says, Jesus asked her for a drink of water, and in the process of conversation told her that whoever drinks of the well will be thirsty again. That's what Jesus said. But he said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give them will never, never, ever thirst again. Wouldn't you like to have some of that kind of water? Water meant life to that country. Life centered around the well. In John chapter 7, Jesus is going to Jerusalem during the Day of the Tabernacles, and the spring of Gihon was located in the southern part of the Kidron Valley. The priest drew water and put it on his shoulder, and from there they walked to the temple and poured the water on the altar as a sacrificial gift to God. In recognition, God gave life. He gave life to the world. And it says, Jesus is the source of life. The water of life comes directly from the heart of Jesus. Where you get it, that's where it's available. And to get water, the water of life only comes from Jesus. And that's what happened. And so sure enough, it says, he that hath my word and believeth in him that sent me. John chapter 5. If we clean out the wells, we will have to do it God's way. You can only get the water of life from Jesus. And so God places our sins on Jesus, and in return, God gives us Christ's righteousness. And so it's living water. We must turn from sin and clean out the wells of our lives. The Philistines fill up Abraham's wells with dirt and mud. Isaac cleaned them out, and the dirt and the well. Could the dirt be selfishness or pride or envy or hate or jealousy or gossip or covetousness or dishonesty? Could it be any of those things that would be dirt in your life? HMS Richards Sr. told a story some time back. He told about Frank Norris. Frank Norris was a pastor. And he lived in Texas. And Frank Norris, as he was about ready to begin his pastorate in that church, that Baptist church in Texas, somebody got him aside. You know, it's interesting when you start a new pastorate, and you start just like you're going to be starting a new pastorate soon. Make sure you get to talk with the pastor and tell him everything you don't, that's not right about the congregation. That's not what you do. No. But that's what happened Frank Norris. So he's going to go, and somebody said to him, Pastor Norris, you need to know about, there's a man, there's a deacon. He sits in the front row. Has a big black beard, and he says, what's happened by the several pastors of the past, every time a pastor comes, the deacon gets down on him, and pretty soon then the pastor moves, so the pastor doesn't stay around very long. And so He was telling about it. He said, now I'm going to tell you about the deacon. He sits on the front row, big black beard. You'll see him. You'll know who he is. Sits there, has a beautiful wife, sits with him. And after a while, he gets down on you, on the pastor. And the first thing you do, you start telling about the pastor, and he does this or doesn't do that. And then he tells all his stories about the pastor, and pretty soon the pastor moves because of the deacon in the front. And the reason was the deacon was a wealthy man. He was a rancher, owned a large ranch. And so the pastor went, and everything's going fine. He's preaching his sermons every Sunday, but it was just a few Sundays after he realized that Mr. Norris wasn't there. So he said something to his wife about her husband being gone. And the pastor had an idea. He said, I'm going to invite myself for Sunday lunch. So the pastor invited himself to go to Sunday lunch. And he rode with the pastor's wife out to their ranch. And when he arrived, there on the porch was the deacon. He looked bad because he looked angry. Anyway, they greeted one another and kind of gruff and walked in and he said the wife had fixed a wonderful meal, had it all set out in nice china and beautiful food, had it all there, and she filled, everybody got a plate full of food, and they were just in the process of eating, and the deacon, he wanted to make sure and communicate himself. He took his plate, shoved it to the front of the middle of the table, and stomped out the door. What a way to treat the pastor. But anyway, that's what he did. And you know what the pastor did? He shoved his plate in the center by the other ones that he stomped out behind him. And you know, what is he going to say? He's angry, and he doesn't even know what his problem is, and he doesn't know what to say, but he saw some things that he could talk, at least he could talk to him about something that maybe he knew, and they had a beautiful cattle. He was a ranch, straight back cattle, beautiful cattle. So he started telling, Mr. Deacon, beautiful cattle you have here. What a wonderful group of cattle. And they were in the pasture there, and they were looking at the cattle. And it wasn't long, they were walking along, and they came to a whole pen full of sheep, beautiful sheep. And he described the virtues of those sheep, and he told them all about the sheep. And they got this telling about the sheep. So he told about the cattle, and the deacon's about to almost join life again. He's beginning to at least respond to the fact that the pastor, well, if he can't be all bad if he knows about cattle and he knows about sheep. They hadn't gone very far, and there was a horses, beautiful horses, different colors of horses running in the pasture. And they loved those horses. He loved those horses. So he told about the cattle. He told about the sheep. He told everything he could think about telling about the cattle and the horses. And he told all of those things. And he's doing everything he can he's trying to win back the deacon. The deacon was really having a problem. Well, the deacon finally said to him, he says, Mr. Pastor, I want to show you some of the best peaches in this country. And he took him to the peach orchard. And I don't know if you can get an idea. Maybe, are you hungry right now? Maybe. Anyway, peaches. Alberta peaches. Beautiful peaches. A whole orchard full of them. And he picked one off a tree, you know, rubbed it in his hand. He handed one to the pastor, and the deacon had one. Remember, they hadn't eaten all their lunch, so they were still hungry. So they ate. And you know what it's like? You ever eat a peach? You just take a bite out of it, and the juice kind of. Am I telling the truth? The juice kind of comes down the face, and that's exactly what he's doing. So oh my! And he's almost ready to join the human race. He's really getting to be friendly to the pastor, and so they're talking and they're carrying on about all this, the peaches, the cattle and the horses and all the rest of that. And he told them all, but he said, "Preacher, I want to show you some of the best water in the state of Texas." And so he told him about water, and the deacon or the pastor, he couldn't understand about the water because there was a well, and he could see a well, that there was a well, and he said, well, how what about the water? And he said, well, you know, when my grandfather farmed this country, they raised cattle and everything, and they had a well, and he said, the well never went dry. It was the best well in the country. And he said, when we moved here, we built a new well. And so it has a big tower there. And it pumps the water. And he said, what happened was there was a drought in the land. He said, the rivers dried up. The lakes dried up. Everything dried up. There was no water. No water. And so they're telling about, the deacon said, what happened was the cattle were dying. People were dying. There was no water. And he said, they thought about this well, this old well. It had been filled up with debris. He said, this well, at one time, this well never went dry. And so they decided they're going to dig that well back up. They had to do something. People were dying. So they got in and started to dig the well. There was so much debris, and the stench was so bad that the men could only go down for like 5 minutes, and then they have to bring it back up. And then they send down another man. He goes down there for 5 minutes, and they bring another man. And they kept digging, and finally they got through some sand at the bottom down there, and the water gushed out like it always had. And men and women came for 50 miles away to get the water because there was no water in the land. And they spent all day and all night. So they were bringing up by the buckets, and they're handing them out to people. And people are taking them by wagon and by whatever way they could. And they were bringing the well, and they filling it up. And they all had water. And the water never went dry. Someone had broke through that mud and into the white sand. Men stood there, it says, night and day, pulling the water to save their cattle, to save their sheep, to save their families. The well never went dry, and they cleaned it out. It says that when a deacon finished the story, the preacher and the deacon put their arms around each other, and the pastor said to the deacon, why don't you clean out the well? They bowed their heads together and they prayed, and tears of them got all mixed up together, and they cleaned out the well, and he has been a different person at that time ever since. And so, my friends, if you're not happy in the Christian faith, clean out the well. It can be one of a thousand things to fill up the well of your heart. Jesus said, He that believes in me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. That's what he said. Every Christian is supported by an artesian well. All of you are an artesian well. And it says, out of his heart, Jesus' life shall flow rivers of living water. So is a river dried up? Sometimes it does. People are better because of me, or are they worse? You need to think about that. So anything can fill up the well. Jesus must be first in your life. You could say amen, amen. Jesus must be first in your life. If it's wrong thinking or wrong reading or dietary choices or carelessness or hatred or prejudice, the Philistines filled up the well with dirt. Clean out the well. Confess to God and each other if you need to. And it was Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.